Hey guys, welcome back to my Tomes of Terror book review series. So I came across this little novel here, which came out in, I believe, February of 2022. This is called The Adirondack Witch by Patrick Ruman or Royman. Not really sure how to pronounce that, so I apologize. I tried to like get them both in there. But yeah, so I came across this, as I come across a lot of my my books that I review, during a kind of random scroll through my Kindle Unlimited recommendations. And this one caught my attention because I love witches, okay? And I kind of feel like there's not enough books about them, particularly like kind of old school, like hag type witches, because I love that kind of shit. So I said, all right, I'll check that out and jump right into it. Now, I will say I enjoyed this overall. I thought it was going to be like a little bit more of an urban legend kind of vibe. It does, I don't know. I want to say it does have like a little bit of that, but it's kind of like a different sort of thing going on. So it was like had a lot of creepy imagery, and like if you're into real like kind of creepy lost in the woods type vibes with sort of a witch kind of monster happening in it, then it's a pretty solid read. But I did have a couple issues with it that I'll get into in a little bit. To get into some of these issues, though, I'm going to have to do like some spoilers because otherwise it's going to be really hard to talk about. So if you want to read this, obviously go read it now before listening to this because I might spoil some stuff for you that you don't want spoiled. As I said, if you have a Kindle Unlimited subscription, then you can read it for free, or obviously you can buy the paperback if you would rather do that. So the story kind of centers around the main character whose name is Hank. I can't remember if he had a last name or if anybody said what his last name was. Now, at the beginning of the story, he seems to be sort of like going back and forth, like reminiscing about the time that he met his wife, Mary, this beautiful woman that he was very, very much in love with. And he's basically like, he met her, I guess she was like a coworker, but she worked in like a different part of the company, so he didn't like know what she looked like or anything. But so accidentally, she sent, there was like a work email, like a group email or something like that. And she accidentally replied to him alone instead of replying to everybody. And they got to talking and then, like, eventually met up in person later. And it was sort of like love at first sight type of thing. So, you know, they got married, blah, blah, blah. Now, the story doesn't really go too much into their courtship or their marriage or anything like that too much. But it's just kind of like enough to sketch in the details about it. Now, not too long after this, you discover that Mary has passed away recently, like in the past 3 to 6 months, I want to say. Ostensibly from cancer, although you don't find that out until probably like halfway through the book when he tells somebody else. Now, Hank is obviously very, very distraught about this as he loved her very much. And he's really not doing too well. Like, he's going on a downward spiral type situation. Like, he basically just walks off his job. He starts drinking a lot and just kind of like laying around on his couch, kind of wallowing in self-pity type of thing. Now, his mom and his sister are really worried about him, as you would be, and they keep kind of dropping by his house unannounced to sort of like nag him a little bit to get like his shit back together, but he's like not really having it, and he's just kind of like, don't they understand? I need like more time and stuff like that. And he's just not ready to move on from his wife yet. Now, thankfully, he has a couple of good buddies named Scott and Charlie. And they seem to be fine with letting him recover at his own pace. You know, they're pretty chill and they just kind of let him do what he's gonna do. Now, not too long into the story, for whatever reason, Hank decides that he's going to, or he needs to, really, take a hiking trip into the Adirondacks. And this, he feels like this will help him clear his head and sort of like get over his wife's death. Now, apparently, he and his wife Mary had talked about taking a trip like this, like when she was still alive. And so he feels like this is something that he has to do, like to get a sense of closure, I guess. Now, the setup here, if you're a big horror fan, as I am, will sound a little bit familiar to you because it is kind of similar to the premise of the 2017 film, which is excellent, called The Ritual. And that was actually based on the novel by Adam Neville, which came out back in 2011. I've reviewed some other Adam Neville books, Cunning Folk and No One Gets Out Alive, but I don't think I haven't read that one, so I haven't reviewed that one. But yeah, that's the book that it's based on. So know that going in. This is kind of like a similar setup to that. This story goes in like different directions, but it does have a similar premise to The Ritual. So if you like that, you might like this as well. Now, Hank's mom pretty much begs him, please don't go on the trip. You know, this is not going to be good. People get lost up there, blah, blah, blah. He says, no, I'll be fine. I'm not going alone. My friends Scott and Charlie are coming with me. So for the first, I want to say quarter to third of the book, we're following Hank, Scott, and Charlie as they're kind of like getting ready to go on the trip. Like they go to the, you know, the store and like buy tents and like all the stuff they'll need and shit like that. Hank starts researching like which would be the best mountains to climb because he's, you know, a newbie and he's like, I don't want anything too strenuous, blah, blah, blah. Now, against his better judgment too, he also kind of becomes sort of fascinated by all these online news stories about all the hikers who have died while they were hiking in the Adirondacks or have disappeared altogether and have never been found. So he starts kind of like getting into that, going down that rabbit hole as well. So then finally, the day of the hike arrives and the trio start heading up the mountain. Now, even though Hank chose what he thought was one of the easiest climbs, he's kind of like a little bit out of shape and he spent the last few months like drinking and shit like that. So it's probably not helping his, you know, physical fitness any. So the hike is much harder than he anticipated, especially because he's carrying this big tent on his back. It's like a large several person tent. Now, he kind of gives it back and forth, like Scott, Charlie and him, like, you know, take turns carrying it, but it's still like a really long way and it's really strenuous. But he gets cheered up a little bit when he actually runs into and befriends sort of like two little knots or groups of people that are also going up to the same summit. So the first group is like an older couple, like retirement age, named George and Eve. And with them is this young woman, I guess in her 20s or something like that, named Jennifer. And she was actually the best friend of their deceased daughter. So they're actually doing the climb for pretty much the same reason that Hank is doing it. Because they're like, oh, our daughter loved this mountain and she did this hike a bunch of times and we want to do this to like honor her memory or whatever. So they're doing that. So then you also have, there's this other younger couple named Jake and Jackie. And they tell Hank, look, we live nearby and we've done this climb like hundreds of times. It's one of our favorite ones. And everybody is nice except for Jake, who's kind of an asshole, but you know, it's okay. So they all decide, oh, we're all going to go up together and this will be really cool. He's made some new friends or whatever. So they do that, but they actually don't end up getting to the summit until kind of like later in the afternoon. And they're all like looking at the view and the view is beautiful and breathtaking and everything like that. But because Hank and the older couple, to a lesser extent, are kind of like inexperienced hikers or are not in as good a shape as the younger people, the climb took probably like way longer than some of the younger ones were anticipating. So they're basically like, well, we obviously can't go all the way back down the mountain in the dark because, you know, there's no lights or anything like that. And we don't really have the equipment or anything to do that. So they're like, well, we should probably just camp up at the top of the mountain and then we'll go down like first thing in the morning. And Hank's like, oh, well, I have a tent. So, and all of us should fit in it. So, you know, everything's fine. He has some energy bars and they have water and everything like that. So everything's going to be super cool. Problem is, though, that when they wake up the following morning, it's still dark, as in the clocks or their cell phones say that it's like 7 or 7:30 in the morning and the sun is not visible. Matter of fact, neither are the moon and the stars visible. It's just basically this enveloping blackness. You can still kind of see the woods and shit like that, like if you shine your flashlight on your phone around, but there's everything's just dark. Even more weirdly than that, they're like kind of looking out over the valley or whatever, and they're like, they see what looks like a village, like an old school village, like with torches and stuff, like all around it. And they're like, okay, pretty sure that wasn't there before, and that's not supposed to be there. So what the fuck is going on? Why hasn't the sun come up? What is this village? What the hell? So there's that. So obviously everybody's freaked out. Now, at first they don't really know what to do and they're like, well, maybe we could just like wait around a little bit. Maybe it's an eclipse or some freaky thing like that. It's like, hell, we don't know. So it's like, well, let's just wait around up here for a bit and then, you know, we'll see if the sun comes up or anything like that. So it doesn't. And after that, they're like, okay, well, we can't just sit here all day. You know, we don't have any food or anything like that other than a couple of energy bars. So we're just gonna have to like try to get the fuck off this mountain in the dark, you know, sadly. So they try to hike back down in this sort of eerie blackness, but they notice that, I mean, they have flashlights on their phones and shit, but everything is different. Like the trail isn't where it was on the way up, And also, there seems to be kind of something in the woods that maybe is sort of like following them or watching them. They kind of hear like footsteps like behind them every now and then, but then they look and like nothing's there. And it's just like, you know, really creepy. Now, all along the way, Hank starts having, like, when they have to stop in camp and stuff, starts having these weird dreams about this kind of, like, really horrifying, like, witch-like creature in the woods. And he's also having sort of, like, dreams or, like, flashes of memory about his life with his wife, Mary. At which point, like I said, it seemed, like, very, very rosy at the beginning. Like, oh, I loved her more than anything, and she was so beautiful, and blah, blah, blah. But, like, you kind of, as it goes along and he has more memories, you learn that it wasn't really, like, as great as he was making it seem. Like, they were actually kind of getting ready to divorce. Like, they hated each other and all this other kind of stuff. So you're kind of doing that. So, as I mentioned earlier, the novel does have a similar premise to The Ritual, which, if you haven't seen it, is about, like, four guys who, they have a friend that dies, and they had been wanting to go on this hiking trip, and blah, blah, and it's kind of like a folk horror type situation. So there's that. This is also very obviously influenced by the Blair Witch Project, something which is actually referenced in the text itself, because Hank, the main character, is, like, a big horror movie fan, and he, like, you know, pretty much straight up says, oh, like, the Blair Witch Project, blah, blah, blah. So there's that. So it's kind of like this whole people lost in the woods, there's a possibly real, or maybe it's not a real witch, like, kind of following them around, and you don't really see it, and it's kind of, like, in the shadows, or, like, out, you know, on in everyone's peripheral vision and shit like that. Now, I will say, though, and this is kind of where the spoiler alert territory is coming in. From very, very early on in the story, even before Hank goes on the hiking trip, you know that there's something else going on here. Unless you aren't reading the story very closely, or are not really aware of horror tropes of any way, shape, or form, you will very, very quickly realize that Hank's two friends, Scott and Charlie, do not exist. That they are just figments of his imagination. This is actually telegraphed pretty clearly by the fact that no one really interacts with them or talks directly to them. And it's pretty obvious, like, the way it's written, that it's written in a way that makes it very clear that, you know, people are talking to him, but it's like he wanted to make it seem like they were talking to Scott and Charlie, but nobody really was. And it's, like, really obvious that they're not. So, I mean, I was maybe, like, 10-15% into the book, and I was just like, these bitches aren't real. He's, like, imagining these two guys. I don't know why it was so obvious, but it was, like, really obvious. And I read, like, a bunch of other reviews, and pretty much everybody said the exact same thing. They're, like, 10% in. I was like, yeah, these dudes aren't real. So it's telegraphed very, very clearly. I mean, they do things like, you know, even before they go on the hiking trip, like I said, like, they show up at his house without knocking. Like, he's in the bathroom getting dressed, and one of them will pop into the bathroom, and he's like, hey, I didn't even hear you come in, and stuff like that. I'm like, these bitches aren't real. Yeah, and they're not. So as soon as you've figured that out, like I said, probably only 10-15% of the way into the novel, you pretty much, you know, going forward, you're going to distrust everything that Hank perceives and says, because now he's obviously an unreliable narrator. And from this, you can kind of extrapolate what the twist at the end of the story is going to be. Now, knowing this fact didn't really dampen my enjoyment of this story too much. And the story didn't end up going exactly the way that I thought it was going to go. Like, it did kind of surprise me a couple of times. But if you're kind of like, I don't know, I kind of feel like readers might be disappointed if they thought, like, what was presumably supposed to be this big revelation at the end, like, oh my god, these dudes weren't real. But it seemed like 99% of the reviews that I read, like, they had figured that out, like, in the first, like, 20-25 pages. So, like I said, if you're attentive or have seen, like, any, you know, horror movies at all, you will kind of, like, know what's going on. I also had a couple of, like, maybe, like, smaller issues. This wasn't really that big a deal. But, I mean, there are a lot of characters, and so they're not really all that fleshed out. Like, some of them, like, I guess Eve is sort of fleshed out, like, because he kind of, like, talks to her more like the older lady. But I want to say, too, that three of the characters' names start with J, Jake, Jackie, and Jennifer. And for a little while, like, when he first met them, I was, like, I kept confusing, like, Jackie and Jennifer, because they were both young women, and they didn't really have any... I don't know, they didn't really seem to have anything that made them distinct from one another, so I kept, like, melding them together in my mind, so it was, like, kind of confusing until, like, I sorted it out. There was also this one thing, this was really weird, this is one thing that kind of, like, it was jarring, and it kind of, like, took me out of the story for a little bit. Now, pretty much the entire book is told from Hank's perspective, but at one point, like, maybe three quarters of the way through the story, something like that, we jump into George's POV for some reason, like, inexplicably. This never happens for any other character. Like, we never get inside the heads of any other character. And I'm not entirely sure, like, why this scene in particular had to be from George's point of view. Like, it was just really weird. And it wasn't even, like, its own chapter. It was, like, a section within another chapter. And it was just, like, a few paragraphs. And I was just kind of like, okay, well, that seemed random, like, because the whole other thing was, like, from Hank's point of view. Unless it was a kind of thing where Hank was seeing things from George, but I don't know. It was, like, really strange. But I was just kind of like, that if it had happened, like, more than once, it wouldn't have been so jarring. But because it just happened that one time, I was like, okay, why do we do that? I mean, it didn't really interrupt the narrative. Like, you kind of got a little bit of perspective on something, but it just seemed weird that it was just, like, that one time, I guess is what the big deal was. Altogether, though, I did actually have a good time with this book. I read it really quick. It moves along pretty quick. It's pretty fast-paced. Even though I guessed, like, a lot of the stuff that was going to happen, it was still pretty entertaining, kind of just going along for the ride. And, you know, the imagery of the witch was actually really creepy, and some of the weird shit that happened to them in the woods. Like, I really liked the buildup and, like, the imagery and shit like that was, like, really eerie. I liked that. There was just enough ambiguity to kind of, like, keep it interesting and, like, keep me reading, even though I had figured some stuff out ahead of time. As I said, I kind of wish that Hank's, you know, unreliable narrator status wasn't so glaringly obvious, like, from pretty much the beginning of the story. But, as I said, the story did actually manage to surprise me a couple times. I wasn't sure exactly where it was going, even though I kind of got in the ballpark. But yeah, so if you like things like The Ritual or The Blair Witch Project, and don't really expect anything that's kind of, like, too out there or, like, too outside of the bounds of, like, some horror tropes that you will probably recognize, then it's a pretty solid read if you like witches and lost in the woods type stories and stuff like that. So, you know, if you've read it or if it sounds interesting to you, then let me know in the comments. And that will do it for this Tomes of Terror. I will see you guys on the next one. Bye.